I got to tell you a story. So my personal opinion, and I have a few, my personal opinion about Good Friday services are that they should be solemn and spare and uncomplicated and
Yes.
just focused on the cross. I always, and I go back, I kind of go back and forth with this. Some years I do the kind of different kinds of meditations on the cross, right? So yesterday I made the decision. I did preach a full sermon yesterday, and I will say that it was off the chain.
I believe that.
However, then the real sermon happened. I had a recording, even though we had musicians in the room, but I had a recording of I took them to the Anglican level, okay? So there was a recording of the choir at Ely Cathedral singing a setting of the Reproaches, right? And I had all the words for that setting in the worship bulletin. So, but this was the end of the service, and it's about 10 minutes long. It's not short, but it's very effective, of course. The Reproaches are something, right? Like, I did all this for you, and look at what you're doing for me, right? And our only response is the Triseion, right? Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us, right? That's the only way we can respond to that. Right at the end of the Reproaches, of course, of course, we had the rough-hewn cross brought in and situated real close on the first step into the chancel, right? So that it wasn't a great distance, easily accessible. And at the end of the Reproaches, about a minute left, Sylvia, 90 something years old, widowed within the last year and a half, comes with her chair walker down the aisle, hunched over, right up to the cross, turns the walker around, sits in it, leans over, takes the cross by the sides, leans her forehead into it, and starts crying. Not a dry eye in the house. And then the Reproaches are over. I had allowed for a long silence there. She leans back, gets up, turns the walker around, back out the aisle. In the narthex, it's what a great word. In the narthex, everyone has left in silence. Some people are staying back and praying, probably more than would have if that had not
Sure.
happened. And she's just, she's big smile on her face. She said, "I just had to go down and touch that cross and give God thanks for all that Jesus has done for me." And I will never think of venerating the cross ever without thinking of that. God Almighty. I was like, well, I know people will not remember my sermon, but I know one thing they will remember.
Yep.
Yep, unbelievable. Just beautiful.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
God, it just gives me chills thinking about it now.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Just want to give God thanks for all that Jesus has done for me.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
I am Sam Parks, and I'm the pastor at Mary Esther United Methodist Church. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I have a lot of different hats. I work with Reconciling Ministries in our annual conference very closely. I'm the vice president of our local PFLAG chapter. I'm the director of worship for the Southeastern Jurisdictional Conference at the moment. And I am the father of two great kids, Will, who is 18, Harper, who is 16, and driving, both driving now. Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's kind of, this is a new season of the podcast. That's what I've decided. Is
oh,
that with
good.
With each liturgical season,
yes,
we'll have a new podcast season.
That's good.
So we are starting off the season, and it's the season of Easter. So talk to me about the season of Easter.
I have some things to say about the season of Easter. You know, we typically go all out about Lent, right? And for good reason, right? It's a time for discipleship formation, preparation of baptismal candidates, catechumens, that sort of thing. You know, it is a really key, important season, really gathered around teaching, right? It's a very teaching-oriented season. So there's a lot, the thing about Lent is there's a lot about God, right? But we have 50, that's 40 days, right? Plus Sundays. But we have 50 days of Easter, which are less about sort of instruction and more about celebration, right? That we do all of this teaching so that we can get to the proclamation, right? And proclamation and teaching are important things, and you can't have one without the other. You can have teaching without proclamation, but the point of the teaching is the proclamation. The point of, you know, so the point of the teaching is, yeah, here's the story about Jesus and what God did in that final week and Holy Week for us. But then Eastertide is about, but Jesus is risen for you, right? It is, we should spend 50 days of hooting, hollering, living out what resurrection means, right? That should be the season of the church. That should be absolutely 50 days of living abundantly. And I wish the church was better at doing that.
Why are we so bad at it?
Because Protestants are just, they can't, I swan and I swear, Protestants just can't get, well, let me say this, white folk.
Yeah.
White folk, we have an inherited weight of, I think, tremendous guilt. And even if we don't think about it, like, there's just this inherited weight of it, right? And so we just cannot allow ourselves to celebrate too much, because then it might seem, you know, what, profligate or something, that we just
excessive.
Have to. Yeah, excessive.
God forbid we'd be excessive. I mean, meanwhile, I've got Teslas all around me, but like that, not that kind of excessive.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. So, I don't know. It's a shame. The church should be leading the culture, right, in learning how to celebrate. Like, there's a lot of trouble in the world, Sam. There's a lot of trouble in the world. And I work with preachers, I teach preaching, et cetera, all the time. And the hardest thing preachers do is find stories of grace and abundance. Those are the hardest stories to find. It's so easy to talk about trouble in the world. But the Great 50 Days should be a season of grace, right? It should be a season of naming God into every beautiful, good, and true thing that happens, right?
Yeah. You know, and we talk about there, you know, these celebrations of new life. They happen in many of the world's religions. Yeah. I think about like our brothers and sisters who celebrate Diwali.
Right.
They do it with bright colors and big celebration. And there is no denying that there is something going on there.
And
meanwhile, we like get dressed up in our finest.
Yes.
Go into church, sit in a pew for an hour. Probably go to brunch after.
Yeah.
Eat some eggs.
I know. I think of when I was in Toronto, we had a close relationship. The church where I was had a close relationship with the synagogue. And every year at Purim, they would do a different Purim play. And of course, Purim is, you know, it's the story, it's Queen Esther and that whole story, but it is fun and funny and celebratory. It's not this solemn religious thing. It's just this, you know, and they do, they'll tell the story of Esther, like in the 50s, like in the 1950s, you know, through that, like it is so much fun. And the church, we just suck at that. We're terrible.
We're really bad at having fun. In fact, there are some times where I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And somebody's like, well, what's the point of it? And I'm like, just to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, but to what end?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and like, I get it. I want to be doing things that are meaningful.
Right.
But I think we have to recognize that celebration is meaningful.
Yeah. The having of the fun is the point.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It is something that really is. It's the same thing with Christmas too. Like, you know, we get all of this, we get Advent, and bang, we get to Christmas and it's over. The tree comes down, the lights are gone. The, you know, it's like, give it 12 days. Okay, yeah. Give it 12 freaking days.
We're not asking you for 50 this time.
I know. That's exactly it. That's exactly it, man.
You can't do a week and a half.
Yep. I'm totally with you. And I, you know, this is convicting. I need to do, and I am planning a great 50 days that is more celebratory, right? And we're going to look at those Acts passages. And we're going to look at all these characters that had surprising stuff happen to them. And, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I think that is kind of my question is, what can we do? You know, you and I and all six people who listen to this podcast. What can we do to really embody that 50 days? What does that look like for us?
So when it comes to like personal, like living the living of life, right? This is the season. It's literally a feasting season, right? And so I love to cook. This is the time when we need to be bringing out those fun recipes and, you know, cooking the things that are but easy and fun, having people over, right? If you feel comfortable with that at this point, you know, down in Florida where we never really had a pandemic, apparently, you know, have people over, get to know your neighbors. You know, we've been part of this neighboring movement thing where the very first thing we did, our group of about 10 people, you know, is to get to know the people behind the 8 front doors closest to your own front door, not the church.
Yeah.
Like where you live, like the people who sleep, like yeah. Just a 30 feet away. You got to get to know your neighbors. Go take them, you know, take them an unexpected gift. That's an Easter thing, right? Go take them an unexpected gift. You know, invite them into your home, have a block party. You know, it's just this, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm doing this because Jesus and you need Jesus, I need Jesus, we all need, you know, it doesn't have to be that at all, right? It doesn't. It's just that we just embody the principle of Easter, right? That yeah. that there's just more life in God than there is death in anything else.
That's right.
And now in church, for me, it's about the music, it's about the you know, what we ask people to do in terms of their posture, in terms of, you know, and I've got a very pliant congregation. They'll try anything once, but to put forth a little extra effort in the visuals and, you know, that sort of thing for 50 days. You don't have to do it for 365 days, 50 days. Let's have some swaths of white and gold cloth, you know, and some, you know, bright and shiny stuff. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, and I do neighborhood ministry, right? That's yes. What I am. My title is pastor to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's like, what a gift. It's the neighborhood incarnational model is in church planting, right? Like God yes. is moving in the neighborhood. Figure out where that is and join in. Like, so I'm not the pastor to the people who come to Front Porch. I'm the pastor to the neighborhood. And we see that all the time. And right. So what if we were the people of the neighborhood, right? What if we were, because the highest ordination in our church is baptism.
Yeah, yes.
Right, and like.
I'll never be superseded by any other ordination, right?
No.
Right.
So it's not just, you know, you and me, it's everybody. If you have been baptized, you are called to pastor in your neighborhood.
You are a minister of the gospel, right? Yeah. some of us are ordained to certain kinds of things, but yeah. You know.
Well, will you give us a good Easter prayer to lead us in this second day of this 50-day season?
A good Easter prayer.
It could just be a regular prayer.
I know. No, but it can never. No. Hold on. Let's take a moment. You know, I'm trying to challenge my inner Chrysostom here.
Oh, I was gonna say you could just read Chrysostom.
To read that Easter homily. Yeah, I mean, it gives me no comfort to know that whatever Easter preaching I will do, it will be superseded by something somebody wrote 1600 years ago.
That's the best Easter preaching. Maybe the best Easter sermon has been done.
Yes.
Way more than 1,000 years ago.
Right. All right. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, you raised your son Jesus from the grave, and we still look among the dead for the living. Forgive us for continuing to go back to the graveyard places in our lives, the places where everything is fixed and fastened and nailed down and certain that we, things that we can count on. But Lord, your resurrection means that if we can count on anything, it is that you are already gone ahead of us into whatever Galilee it is we have to go tomorrow morning. So Lord, it is a frightening thing to serve a resurrected Lord. It is because we just never know. We just never know when your risen presence is going to show up. When we break bread, when we hear the word, we just never know. We just can't count on anything except that you are going to continue to woo us away from the graveyard. And to that, I say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.